Trevor Sliwa.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
that takes a lot.
Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour or two, the Twisted Sister classic that was culturally appropriated by the Trump campaign with no problems from the band who said, go ahead, use it. God bless you. Speed off to victory. And Donald Trump did. But Dominic Carter, as we're hired to our Madison Square Garden here and the great facilities provided for us in order to do this broadcast to all of you out there on the 50,000 powerful watts of sound by NJDiet.com. We have come to another, what can I say, Maginot line in terms of how much support will a Trumper or Trumpet give this president. We remember in the midst of the campaign, no matter how many problems the campaign had, I remember you, Dominic, who said, watch this guy, he's going to win, he's going to beat Hillary, and everybody else was a naysayer about that, but Dominic Carter called it right. But I remember that moment in which, I forget who it was that said, that Donald Trump could go out onto Fifth Avenue with a gun in his hand, shoot somebody right in the head.
He said it himself.
Right. Shoot somebody right in the head, and that his supporters would still support him. What did you think when he said that? Because I thought he was, like, off his rocker.
Well, what we're witnessing now is taking, reinventing one's career, oneself, to an entirely different level. To me, it's almost wicked, though, what the president of the United States is doing. What the president is doing is he's saying to the people of Alabama, the good people of Alabama, hey, look, they said the same exact thing about me and women. You see, none of these women have sued. Nothing has happened to me. I've gone on to be the president of the United States. So if they did it to me falsely, this is the president's spin, then they're doing the same thing to Judge Moore.
Right, but we do realize that Donald Trump has more cachet with the voters, the Trump voters, than Moore himself.
And that's my point. The president is indirectly lending his credibility full throttle to Moore in the state of Alabama.
There are many people out there, hardcore Trump supporters, like this gentleman, who the other day on CNN said if it came down to listening to Jesus or Donald Trump, it would be Donald Trump.
Let me tell you, if Jesus Christ gets down off the cross and told me Trump is with Russia, I would tell him, hold on a second, I need to check with the president if it's true.
Okay, so now we have the next Maginot line to cross. Let's go back to that fateful Friday. It was 3:30 in the afternoon when NBC, that was sitting on the tape, did not release the tape, but by other means, we all heard the Billy Bush discussion on the bus, the tour bus, as they were waiting to meet the drop-dead gorgeous vixen actress. These are the words that almost sunk Donald Trump's presidential drive.
I better use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. But I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the I can do anything.
As you pointed out, Bush is on the shelf. He can't find a job. And Donald Trump went on to become president of the United States in a very close, tightly contested election. But it was the only time in my memory I ever remember Donald Trump as a citizen or president apologizing for anything. And that apology came the very next day, that Saturday, about his statements with Billy Bush.
Never said I'm a perfect person, nor pretended to be someone that I'm not. I've said and done things I regret, and the words released today on this more than a decade-old video are one of them. Anyone who knows me knows these words don't reflect who I am. I said it, I was wrong, and I apologize.
Wow. That was momentous. I'd never heard him apologize. Did you ever hear Donald Trump apologize?
And you may not ever hear him apologize again. That's why I am telling you that the president trying to pull us back now, it's a way of confusing his base, which may prove to work, but it's also a way of giving cover to the Republican voters in the state of Alabama to vote Roy Moore.
But there's a new wrinkle here that doesn't involve Judge Roy Moore. It involves the president himself. He has told a U.S. senator, and he has told another source, that that tape we just listened to was doctored, that he believes that was a doctored tape. Now, he's not blaming the Russians, hasn't blamed the Red Chinese, hasn't blamed the DNC, but he says it's doctored.
Mm-hmm.
I want to find out from the hardcore Trump people out there. They've heard the tape. They heard the apology the very next day. More than a year later, the president is now telling people that was a doctored Billy Bush tape. He did not say that.
You know how you know it's not doctored? If that was a doctored tape, when the president and Chris Christie, he was then candidate Trump, when Chris Christie abandoned him that night over the tape and others did, the consultants around the president, if that was a doctored tape, they would have told him to come out and say it. That's not what he did. He came out and apologized because that was the right thing to do, and there was no other way to get around that tape.
But now that he's telling people, and you know what, the next thing, he'll tweet it, he'll say it. You know, this is how he always builds
right.
up. He builds
trial
up
balloons.
The, right. Would you believe that, Trumpers and Trumpets? Would you believe this president now, more than a year later, after he apologized for what he said to Billy Bush that appeared on that audio tape? Would you believe him if all of a sudden he says that was manufactured, that was a fake tape, that was spliced and diced to make it appear that he said that? I'd love to hear from the Trumpers and Trumpets on it, because he's betting the over on the point spread is that they'll buy that. 1-800-848-WABC. Or is he just guilty as charged? Because he obviously acknowledged guilt by apologizing. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Joe?
Hi, I love you guys. Just want to say.
Thank you, Joe.
I have a few. One thing is, well, men are all pigs. That's what I learned. But anyway, I have a problem. Well, why is everyone coming out after 40 years, all these actresses who make a lot of money now, and this, that, and the other thing? You know, of course, all presidents forget, like the president that didn't know that what sex was in the White House, but he did it anyway. They all forget. They all, you know, what is it? You know, it's like crazy.
Well, Joe, remember, the tsunami of all these women coming forward really occurred in the aftermath of Harvey Weinstein. It didn't happen when Roger Ailes and O'Reilly were going down for the count. It didn't happen when Bill Cosby was going down for the count. I mean, look, there was like dozens of women there. But it just seems that with Harvey Weinstein and all the different types of sexual harassment and sexual assaults he was involved in, that when that Me Too hashtag was put out by that Rosie McGowan, I believe her name is, the actress, that it just caught on with a lot of women. And a lot of women said, I'm not holding him back any longer. I'm not taking this to my grave.
But I understand that. But seriously, when someone wants you to go in a hotel room just with a... What do you think he wants? You want to be an actress? You want to... It's ridiculous, and I don't understand why, you know, that guy that's running in Alabama, why didn't they put him out when he was a judge?
To me, the guiltiest statement is not by any of his accusers. It's by former cops from Gadsden. It's a little town in Alabama who say that their police chief ordered them to follow then the assistant district attorney, Judge Moore, when he would go to high school games like just happened in many places on Thanksgiving.
Now, Curtis, think about what you're saying. the police that have to work with the district attorney are being told to follow the assistant district attorney because this guy likes to play with little girls.
Right. He's perving on the cheerleaders at the high school football games in Gadsden, and he's going to the mall. Joe, he was banned from a mall back then. That was almost unheard of.
And that's disgusting. And why didn't the mothers, like, protect their kids? Like, where were the mothers? Like, what? I don't understand it.
Joe, wait, Joe, hold on a second here. I want to ask you this question. So you live in small town America. The town that comes to House of Cards was based on Gaffney, South Carolina. So you live in a town with 15,000 people. And you've got a situation with the assistant district attorney. You're telling me you're going to go forward and challenge this very powerful man?
Yeah, you know what? My mother would, because I come from Brooklyn, and my mother, she's from Italy, had an Italian bat, and she didn't care who said what, who did what. She'd take that bat and hit him over the head, even if she went to jail for her kids.
And that reminds me, Joe... of Eugene Gold, a former DA in Kings County, Brooklyn, who while traveling to give a speech, I think, south of the Mason-Dixon line in North Carolina, fondled a little girl. And the family wouldn't succumb to a bribe or make it go away. And Eugene Gold lost his position. And I think, by the way, check Wikipedia here. Make yourself useful, Justin B. Love. I think he may have actually done time for that. That was a long time ago. But you see, those were parents who just would not let him off the hook for molesting their daughter.
Curtis, I respect the point that Joe was making, but we have to be honest here. So if you're an actress making, let's say, $1 million annually, and Harvey Weinstein allegedly did some very bad things to you, right? Are you going to come forward and blow your $1 million annual salary? Of course not. No one is. And so that doesn't mean it goes away. That doesn't mean it goes away from the back of your mind.
Excuse me. You know, you're so uncouth. Did you have to use the term blow the opportunity?
Oh, I didn't. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Would you apologize?
I apologize. I apologize.
I apologize to the audience because Eugene Gold got probation. He never got time. But he lost his district attorney position.
Okay, so the question goes to you, Mr. Sliwa.
Yes.
You're making – don't think like Curtis Sliwa. Think like the rest of us.
Wow, that's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. But you're making $1 million a year. Mm. You're an actor. Mm. And Mr. Weinstein allegedly fondled you, whatever term.
He wants my tookus.
Right, whatever. Are you going to blow your $1 million a year annual salary over going public with that?
Not going to blow him, that's for sure.
I use blow again. Are you going to give up your $1 million a year salary?
I'm not giving my tookus up. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't say you have to give it up.
But he wants it.
But are you gonna sacrifice your annual income of $1 million a year?
I'm not Curtis Lee because Curtis Lee
would have knocked him out.
I guess if I was Nebushi and Schlubby and like Matt Damon and his friend Ben Affleck, I probably would give him my tookus.
I didn't say you had to go all the way. Can we go back to the phone calls?
Yes. Let's go to Pete in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC, Pete.
Well, yeah, just a couple things. First of all, Curtis, I hope 40 years from now somebody accuses your children without any evidence and everybody just piles on them. As someone who's been accused of a sex crime and has been through this, they lie through their teeth. They lie on police reports. I recognize every single scam and sleight of hand that was used against me, and I was able to be successful because I'm intelligent and I had a good lawyer, but this is like he doesn't even get a chance to go to court.
Pete, wait, I'm going to step in. Pete.
I'm going to say, oh, yeah, his dad grew up, he wore a Van Damme, he wore
Pete, why would you wish that on this man's kids? That's not cool.
Why? Because, I'll tell you why, because that's how disgusted I am. It's disgusting that you're gonna ruin somebody's name without evidence from something that happened 40 years ago. What happened to the yearbook girl with Gloria Allred? What happened to that? She's like radio silent. What happened to that?
How many accusers did you have?
How many what? It was one incident with two accusers.
Okay, with two accusers. We have nine separate women, unaffiliated, don't know one another.
Why did the yearbook girl disappear after he...
She didn't disappear. She gave an interview on the Today Show just last week. What are you talking about?
Okay, let me just tell you something, Curtis, okay? I'm going to tell you something, okay? In my case, when I was arrested, okay, they put in the police report that they called my local police department, who said that I was involved in a similar incident on such and such date. It was in the friggin' police report. They wrote it in the police report. It was a fabrication. It was a complete and total fabrication. There was no evidence of even calling the police department. There was no evidence of any incident even taking place. What do you think happened to the cop who wrote that in the police report?
I guess you're suggesting that the cops who have come forward to say that they were assigned to make sure that then ADA Moore was not perving on cheerleaders and sales clerks in malls, that was made up to?
Maneuver. Absolutely. Classic maneuver. Means absolutely nothing to me.
Right. So all these people are making it up, right, Pete?
Well, what happened to Yearbook Girl? What happened to
Yearbook
Girl?
All the people making it up, Pete. The cops, nine women. You're claiming a cabal here, a conspiracy. Is that what you're saying?
Why not?
Sure.
Curtis, you don't feel well. Stay calm.
Sure, Pete. And a pox on you.
Stay calm.
Believe this.
Stay calm.
Nine women.
You're turning red.
Cops,
stay calm.
Cops, you know, that's like
when people are delusional. When people are delusional, they believe what they want to believe.
You see the party, five cops coming forward saying, "Yeah, I had to watch the guy. He was perving the cheerleaders. He was banned from a mall."
Stay calm.
He was the ADA, and he was banned from the mall.
My brother, stay calm.
But that's all a conspiracy to take down Judge Moore. 1-800-848-WABC.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77-WABC.
Well, I noticed the Trumpers and Trumpettes weren't so quick to believe the new spin of our president claiming that Billy Bush tape may have been altered, may have been faked.
Who in their right mind would believe that?
Same people who, if Trump had gone out into Fifth Avenue and shot somebody in the head, would have voted for him anyway. Anyway, let's go to Anna, who's calling from the Bronx. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC, Anna.
Good morning, guys. Look, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, there was a Mad Men era. They made a movie about it. Men behaved badly, very badly, and it was acceptable. People covered up for them. So it was a bragging right. Proving their manhood kind of a thing. And to me, Weinstein is a sick person, but the real guilty party is all the people who covered up for his sickness. You know?
Anna, I would agree with you, but there's just one problem with your assessment. It's called lots of money to throw around. How do you get around that?
What do you mean?
Meaning that when you're a very powerful person, you have money to buy the best lobbyists, the best agents, the best spokespeople. You have money for hush money. How does one? I agree with your assessment.
But that was the era.
It's still the era, now more than ever.
Well, now they are being discovered, and that's the difference. Then it was a hush-hush. Everybody knew about it. Now they are being discovered.
Well, I think in the case, Dominic, of Charlie Rose, his executive producer, a woman named Vega, women, after being perved on by Charlie Rose, would go to her thinking, okay, I'll confide in another woman and let her know what Charlie did to me. And they would pour out their heart and soul to Vega, and Vega would listen, and then Vega would look at them and say, yeah, but that's Charlie being Charlie. Basically, like, buck up. You want to stay here? That's the way Charlie's going to be. He's
now,
going to perv you.
Yeah, your assessment is correct, but I want you to think about this for a second. So we're blaming the woman executive producer, not you, society.
Yeah.
Because she didn't stop Charlie Rose from a man being a man.
Oh, she's culpable. Yeah, she's an enabler. Absolutely.
How can she? I'm sure she's got a family to feed.
Oh, yeah.
She may have children. How could she? How can we hold her responsible for what Charlie Rose did?
There are whistleblowers in our society every day.
But he had a private company. So, okay. So you whistleblow, and tomorrow you're out of work and on unemployment.
Private company. But then again, PBS would have had an answer for that. CBS, which carries this show, would have had an answer for that.
Bloomberg, and what about her job? Who's going to take care of her?
Well, you see, if you're going to allow somebody to maraud on women, culpable, gullible
I'm not saying that we should. I'm saying that it's unfair to hold a woman responsible for the actions of man.
He is primarily responsible, but she doesn't get wolf tickets. She doesn't get to take a pass. There has to be ramifications for her because she was way up there in the leadership chart. It's not like she was just an employee of human relations. She was his executive producer. These women were pouring their heart out to her. And she just looked at them all and said, it's just Charlie being Charlie. Buck up. Learn to deal with it. Or go get another job. Wow. So nice. Boy, women sticking up for women there. Anyway, up next, you are a resident of NYCHA, a housing authority, the Patterson houses and then the Throgs Neck houses. Well, because Comrade Bill de Blasio lied about doing lead inspections in the apartments, particularly where those 6 years older and younger live, they're going to kick in your door now if you're not at home, and then they'll put a new lock on your door.
Wait, say that again. They're going to do what?
They're going to kick in your door. That means if you're not home when they're there to do their lead inspection because they're making up for lost time.
Now, wait, maybe they'll let you know when they're coming, but NYCHA has a habit of telling you 9 a.m., and they might get there at 4:30 p.m.
Exactly. So we're going to discuss all of that up next. Seems a little un-American to me. But anyway, on that note, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
But I'm going to take a time out to let that know where I'm from. Where
I'm from East New York. I'm from East New York. What? I'm from East New York. I'm from East New York.
Where the guns do the talk. Where the guns do the talk. Where the guns do the talk.
East New York, Brooklyn. I'm from East New York. I'm from East New York.
What?
I'm from East New York. I'm from East New York.
Where the guns do the talk.
See, I'm in a car right now, pimping behind the wheel. And next to me is my partner, my homeboy, Dominic Carter. We're passing the Linden houses and then the Boulevard homes and then the Pink houses, a.k.a. Stink houses, right in the heart of East New York. These are major high-rise public housing developments nearby in Brownsville, Brooklyn, never ran, never will. There's 22 separate units alone just in Brownsville. And naturally, they're throughout the city.
I was in Brownsville just Friday night.
You were?
So, yes, yes, yes.
What were you doing in the hood?
Why did you jump up all of a sudden there?
Because, you know, that's my old stomping grounds. That's where the Jolly Stompers were. I used to stomp them.
I won't tell you who was at an event I was doing, because if I do, I'm not going to hear the end of this until 3 o'clock.
Not Al Slim Shady Sharpton and the National Action Hate Network, please. Because that's where he's originally from, Stone Avenue Project.
Well, for the very first time, I went to the Brooklyn Heritage House.
Yes.
On Mother Gaston Boulevard.
Mother Gaston Boulevard, which used to be Stone Avenue.
Well, I don't know much about Brooklyn. I'm a Bronx guy.
Yeah, I know.
You hung out in that neighborhood?
Oh, hell yeah. Man, I remember the Jolly Stompers put boots to the back of my head when I was running through the Stone Avenue projects.
When I was there Friday?
Yes.
I didn't see any white people, Curtis.
Damn right. And you didn't see any white people back when I was running through those streets. That's why I know all those streets.
So why
chased.
Would you do that?
What do you mean? Why? Because I was, like, curious. You know, I crossed Linden Boulevard. Linden Boulevard was the supreme cuisine land. You know, the Jewish kids, most of them, they didn't cause any problems.
So you did it because you were curious.
Well, I'll never forget. talking about crossing Linden Boulevard, we were at the pool there, the Betsy Head Pool. Huge pool right in Brownsville near Sutter. And we were snacking on some Puerto Rican girls. And then all of a sudden, some Puerto Rican and black guys came around and they said to me and my supreme cuisine cousins, when the sun goes down, you better be out of this part of town. And my cousin Lenny Beans Bianchino said, feet don't fail us now. We better head to Linden Boulevard now, because if we don't make it, they're going to be hanging us out to dry. And we started booking And let me tell you something. He was absolutely right. If we had waited any longer, we'd have been surrounded and hogtied and God only knows what. We would have been stuck like squealing pigs. So you see, you learn that way. Yeah, you know, you run from the tomahawks, you run from the jolly stompers. You see, this is what builds character in somebody.
Builds character.
But public housing is a place where a lot of people in this city live in New York. And you, Dominic Carter, for a time in your life, you lived in the Patterson houses, South Bronx, really bad. And then the better Throgs Neck projects.
Yes.
In fact, you may have seen that video that was playing all weekend long, not far from the Patterson projects, the Morris projects, a few blocks away, I think on 136, where...
You hang out there, too.
Oh, I've been in and out of those projects, absolutely. But if you notice, they played the video on the news. A man walks into the foyer of one of the apartment complexes. And did you see the three kids play Clockwork Orange with him, put their Timberland boots to the back of his head?
A 55-year-old man, I believe.
Right. They took $10.
And robbed him for $10.
But, I mean, they humiliated him. They degraded him. They stomped him. You know, it's worse than just being robbed. It's like they did a Clockwork Orange to them. And I think all three are still on the lam. The cops are looking for them. But project life is rough. And rough is also being stuck in a project if you got a kid six or under and there are lead chips. Because let's face it, a lot of the paint originally used was lead-laced paint. You know, from Martin Paint Brothers. You know, they used to buy crates of it from Fordham Road when Martin Brothers used to sell it to NYCHA. And the city did not do due diligence, both under Michael Bloomberg when he brought in somebody from Wall Street, some guy of no consequence who ruined NYCHA. And then, actually, with your mayor, comrade Bill de Blasio, with the new chairwoman. I can't pronounce her name. Maybe you can.
I have no idea how to pronounce it.
Okalaka Waka or something like that.
But they all better be happy that I don't run the Housing Authority, because the first thing I would do is fire 90% of the administrative staff, starting with the chairwoman.
Oh, I would definitely concur with you and agree with you. But both Bloomberg and his guy... And in this case, de Blasio and his chairwoman lied because they signed papers saying that these inspections of 55,000 apartments was done, when in fact it was never done.
For lead paint.
Right. So now, to make up for lost time, because, you know, this mayor, pretentious as he is, it's his way or the highway. He has issued orders to project residents who live in the affected apartments that if they are not home when the inspectors come, they're going to bust off their locks, they're going to break into their apartment, and they will gladly put a new lock and key back.
I couldn't have heard you correctly. Did you say they're going to, the housing authority, when they come to check for lead paint, if you're not there, they're going to break into your apartment?
That is correct. Break into your apartment.
But wait a minute. But this is the mayor that loves poor people. He loves black and Latino people. Bill de Blasio, I mean, isn't that this guy, the national progressive?
Well, he's claiming this is all part of the not-at-home policy that has been in existence for years. And in certain emergencies, even in an apartment housing, a private apartment house, you know, the super can break into your apartment. You know, it's got to be. You got to dot the I and cross the T. You have to have exactly the right rationale. Likewise in NYCHA. But, you see, he's doing this to cover his tookus.
So you're telling me that after they screwed up, meaning the city, and did not do these federal inspections, they're going to bully poor people and break into their apartment to do the inspection if they're not home?
That is correct. And if you're not home, they are going to basically kick in your door, you know, bust the lock, and then they'll put a new lock on it, and you'll have to come down to management's office and pick up the new key for your new lock.
And so they're going to spend more money to fix this problem.
That is correct. But also, in the course of things, violate people's rights. At least I'm thinking of it that way. This is America. Where do you get the right to just break into somebody's apartment?
Well, clearly, the de Blasio administration was hoping that this didn't hit the papers and that they could just bully people into this behavior. There's no way this is going to stand up in court.
Well, I remember the Stone Avenue projects we were talking about where your friend, Al Slim Shady Sharpton of the National Action Hate Network, grew up.
I'm going to try and bring you guys together. I'm really going to try.
Really?
You and Sharpton. I'm going to try.
What will that be, in Madison Square Garden in the ring?
No, I'm really going to try. I'm really going to. Don't look at me
like
that.
That's like mixing
really
ammonia and bleach. We hate, we despise, we loathe one another. You know that, Dominic.
Yeah, I do, but I'm going to try and bring you guys together.
Well, what do you think? You're Jimmy Carter? Is this like bringing together Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat? You're going to win the Nobel Peace Prize? Go ahead, knock yourself out. But anyway, the Stone Avenue Projects, I remember when it was first built, a few years afterwards, and it was actually a step up from the tenements, you know, because you had all the amenities that you didn't have in a tenement. In some of those tenements, you still had to share a toilet on the same floor. You didn't even have, you know, central plumbing. Like, everybody didn't have their own toilet. You had to share one bathhouse, one toilet, all the way at the end of the hallway. So moving the public housing was a step up, but part of the regulations were is that they can inspect your apartment at any time and come in and do the white gloves treatment and make sure you didn't have items in that apartment that were beyond your means. Because obviously to live in public housing, you had to state that you were earning a certain amount of income or you
now,
were poor and were
what
in poverty.
What year was this? This
had in
to
the
be
late
60s. 60s. Okay.
Late 50s,
okay.
Early
okay.
60s. Okay. And they would give it the white glove test. And then with John Lindsay, who helped almost single-handedly as mayor destroy this city, they did away with that, which was good quality control. But what I remember is they didn't kick in your door, though, if you happened not to be there. If you were working or if you were out shopping, you know, they would make sure that at a certain point that they would be there when you were there so that they could accurately check out your apartment.
I'm sure this is not going to stand, but I just want to point something out, Curtis, quickly. Yes. Going back to our last segment, the caller asked about why people in the entertainment industry didn't step up with sexual harassment allegations. Well, there was one against actor Terry Crews, who's an African-American.
Yes.
And he said that a man grabbed his who happened to be a powerful agent.
Yes.
Grabbed his private parts
in
with
front of his wife.
Right, in front of his wife. Well, that agent is now back at work. So this is what it was. The agent was on a month suspension. And Terry Crews just tweeted in bold print, "Someone got a pass."
So this guy
that grabbed his
who pulled his chain in front of his wife
penis, yes,
is back at work after a month
in front of his wife. Yes, he's back at work
of going to the same Harvey Weinstein sex rehab clinic in Arizona that apparently who is that Spacey
right
is going to now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and Cruz just, and you know, he's a popular actor. He just, again, tweeted, "Someone got a pass." So for all of that, going forward, following a police report, the agent was suspended for a month, and that's that.
And by the way, an update on Donald Trump and Judge Moore. The president said last week he would let us know this week if he was going to go on tour with Judge Moore throughout the state of Alabama.
Yes, he is.
He has decided no.
Oh,
he will not campaign with Judge Moore.
Okay, okay.
So he will relegate his support to tweets, to the twits out there who actually would follow the president's suggestions of who they should vote for, the pedophile or the liberal progressive Democrat. But the president will not go to the state of Alabama, will not campaign for Judge Moore.
I want you to think about this, because I contend Giuliani did do some good for New York City in many areas.
A lot of good.
Imagine Rudy Giuliani saying in the predominantly African-American Latino housing projects of New York that he was going to knock down the door or go in your apartment. I won't use inflammatory language. Imagine if Giuliani had said, "I'm going in your apartment whether you're there or not." They would have me live every day at 5 o'clock for the next 3 weeks reporting the story.
Who is it you would be interviewing? Al Slim Shady Sharpton.
You're back to Sharpton?
No justice, no peace, right? He would have demonstration day, sure, demonstration each day at every one of the public housing units throughout the city of New York.
How many, you would know, I have no idea, how many housing projects are there in the city of New York?
Wow, that's a good question. Let's hit Wikipedia here. I would say
20?
Maybe 500.
500 different housing projects?
I believe so. I could be totally wrong.
But you never lived in one, right? You just...
No, ran through them.
Okay.
So make yourself useful here, Justin B. Love. Find out how many actual public housing developments there are in the five boroughs of the city of New York. I guessed about 500. It's probably a little less than that.
And you hung out in the projects. Did you ever notice our special elevators?
Yeah, they never worked.
That's one.
And they smelled of urine.
Two, right.
And the hallways, defecation, drug paraphernalia, and homies hanging in there knocking out the light bulbs so that they could vic you up when you were walking
and
upstairs.
You would walk up and down the stairs?
Oh, hell, it's the only way to get to where you were going.
Why would you do that?
Hey, there were some girly girls there. Come on, Dolly. I'm not going to let a bunch of homies keep me from going to a party. And you know they have some really outrageous parties in the projects. 1-800-848-WABC.